Nashta prayeshu badreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavat yuttama shloke bhaktir bhavati naishtaki narayanam namaskritya naram cheva narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jem Madhirayat Krishne Sadamo Pagate Dharma Ganadi Bisa Kalo Nashta Drisham Esha Puranarko Dunodita Shrimad Bhagavatam Puranam Amalam Yad Vaishnavanam Priyam Yasmin Paramahamsyam Ekam Amalam Jnanam Param Giyate Tatra Jnana Viraga Bhakti Sahitam Naishkarmyam Vishkritam Tachchinvan Supatan Vicharanam Paro Bhaktya Vimuchyen Narahan Shlokam Ekam Tadardham Va Param Padardham Eva Va Sharavanyo Nushunayat Punat Yatvanam Eva Saha Saravedanta Saram Hi Shri Bhagavatam Mishyate Tadrasam Rita Triptasya Nanyatra Sadrati Kuchit Krishna Tulya Bhagavata Vibhu Sarvashray Pratishloke Pratyakshare Nanartakai Ari Madhyante Bhagavate Kai Vishnu Bhakti Nitya Siddhakshaya Avyay Premamaya Bhagavata Krishna Rishi Yanga Tahate Kahena Yatta Gopya Krishna Ranga Vandeham Shigaro Shiyuta Parakamalam Shigaron Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raganatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Paran Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitam Sajivam Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nivashesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarane Yankali Rupa Sharira Nadarta Tan Braja Prima Mahanati Kutarika Kon Kapata Ugadata Shri Rupshi Sanatan Bhattaragunath Sri Jeev Gopala Bhatta Dasaragunath Echai Gosair Kari Charan Vandan Jahoite Vignanash Abhishta Puran Vanchakapa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vaivacha Patitanam bhavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Anandalila maya vigrahaya himavadivyachcha visundaraya tasmai mahaprimarasa pradaya Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Balavi Varanam Bhoja Malane Nirtyashalane Nama Pranatapalaya Sri Krishnaya Namo Namaha Shiman Rasarasaram Vivam Shivata Tatastitam Karshan Venusuner Gopir Gopinata Shristuna Mahabhava Surupa Tvam Krishna Priyavariyasi Prema Bhakti Prade Devi Radhike Tam Namam Yaham Bhajami Radham Maravinda Netram Smarami Radham Madurasmitasyam Vadami Radham Karanabharadram Tato Mamanyasti Gatirna Kapi Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Shrimad Bhagavatam Mahapurana Ki Jai 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 Shri Radhe Rasa Panchadaya 10th Canto of Shrimad Bhagavatam Chapter 29-33 Start a new verse today, 29th chapter, 17th verse. Continuation of the storyline, the love story of Rasa Lila. This is scene 3. Scene 2 was the theological discourse, dialogue, or monologue, and then narrative. So here we have the narrative continues. Shukadeva is narrating, telling the story to Parikshit, to all the rishis and munis and to all of us for time immemorial, the story of the rasa dance, the story of the ultimate expression of divine love, the story of the path of perfection to its ultimate conclusion, the story of the jiva at his best possible attainment and God in his highest form and most complete expression as the lover of everyone, especially the surrendered souls. Krishna called the gopis with his murali. They all ran away from, they left everything, not only their houses. They left their bodily conception of life. They left their mental conception of life. They left their hankara. They gave up their identity. Social connections, social relationships, name, fame. When they ran to Krishna, it was more than just an avisar, a love journey to meet the beloved, to meet Krishna. It was an expression of their total running away from everything, giving up everything. Because what everything means, the body, the mind, and the expansions of our body and mind, our possessions, our loved ones, then our name, our fame, our prestige, our worship, our wealth, our protection, our security. They gave it all up. They may not be let in the house when they come back. when the wife of the Dobi in Treta Yuga spent a night somewhere other than her husband's house, and she returned the next morning, and he said, "Where were you?" "Oh, I was out, but I'm back now." And Dobi said, "I'm not like Ram. I'm not going to accept my wife if she spent one night in the house, away from my house, in an unknown place." And Ram disguised, or his spies heard that. Then Ram banished Sita. This is in Ramayana. So obviously 5,000 years ago, if the Brajavadus were missing for one night, you can't come back. Where to go? Go back to your mother's house? We don't want you. You've ruined our name. Go to your mother-in-law's house? Forget it. Security, protection, shelter. Everything they gave up. So that's just not just a love journey, driving across town to meet your concubine. Means your illicit lover. It actually expresses a very deep philosophy. It shows that they're the greatest tyagis, the greatest yoginis, and the greatest lovers of God. Because a true lover of God can give up everything. People may give up their money to God, or even their social position, and give up their position as a grihastha and become a sannyas. But will they give up their attachment to prestige and name and fame and the security of their prestige, or the security of an ashram, or the security of disciples, or security of fame in the society of sadhus? It's a whole other society. Sadhu Samaj. Well, that's so-and-so pundit. Well, that's so-and-so Dave. That's so-and-so. The gopis did that. So now they've come before Krishna. He called them, now there's the meeting. You call your beloved, then there's a meeting. Then when you meet the beloved, there's some dialogue. And then the Leela goes on. Tatrisva Anantikam Ayata Bhagavan Brajayoshita Abadad Varatam Shreshto Vacha Peshar Vimohayan. Krishna is very much likes this word Vimohan. He's regularly creating a situation of extreme bewilderment in the minds of his devotees. In chapter 14 of the 10th canto, it's called Brahma Vimohan Leela. The Adi Shishya, the Swayambhu, the first living entity of the universe, Brahma, he became Vishesh Brahm, totally bewildered by Krishna's Bali Leela, the Sakyaras. Now he's bewildering, and he's a lover of God. Brahma loves God. He's in Shantaras. He does his service. Sometimes he's considered Brahman. They say Gyan Mishra Bhakti, Lord Brahma, which is a type of Shant. And he was bewildered, but he loves Krishna. He's a servant. He's a devotee of Krishna. He's there in the spiritual world. He's in Goloka Vrindavan. Jiva Goswami tells in Brahma Samhita that all the demigods have their original forms in Goloka Vrindavan. Durga, Shiva, they're all there. And then they expand themselves. As Krishna expands from Goloka, then they expand right along with him to become the Durga of this world, or the Durga of Kailash, or etc. Wherever the lover goes, the beloved goes. So in this case, the beloved, the lover has lots of beloveds, thousands, millions. The husband goes, you usually see one husband moving with one wife, and maybe children. When Krishna moves, it's the whole spiritual world moves. He comes here, everyone comes. Well, now you go and take birth in the Vrishni dynasty, and you take birth in the other dynasty. Girls come from the heavenly planets to join his Leela and become Tadatmika with the gopis, to experience that. 20 types of ladies, or seemingly ladies, they become gopis to dance with Krishna, explained in Garga Samhita. Famous personalities serving Krishna in different spheres of this world, they also want to take part in this Ras Leela. They come, become an avesh, then they go back. You go to the movies, you don't merge with the movie forever. You merge for some time, 3 hours. You merge your identity, your attention, your heart, your feelings, your thoughts, your desires. And then you come out. So they, you're, in one sense, you're avesh with the movie theater. So these ladies in the heavenly planets who saw Vamanadeva, when they saw Vamanadeva, they said, "Well, he's really beautiful." Because he gave darshan to all the girls. He's called Tribhuti, what's he called? Trivikram. He's stepping out. Some guy dresses up and he steps out in the city and walks around and shows how smart looking he is. But this dwarf Brahman, he stepped out. He took Trivikram, Vikram. 3 steps, Kram means steps. He stepped all the way across the universe and he was handsome. He is handsome and beautiful and youthful and young. And all the ladies, many ladies, "Oh, who is that guy going by? And nice legs he has." And men have nice legs. Women appreciate men's forms. Men appreciate women's forms. That's the world. So Vamanadeva, there are ladies, and he's a young, beautiful boy. He's out for a stroll. 3 steps, he covered the whole universe, and all the ladies saw. So Garga Samhita explains that many ladies in the heavenly planets, they felt conjugal feelings for him. So he said, "Bhavatu, tatastu," and they became gopis. They became an avesh of the Nityasthita gopis. They were able to take part. Like Prishni and Sutapa entered Devaki and Vasudeva. Those are 3 births. Devaki and Vasudeva are amshas of the Surab Shakti of Krishna. You can't become Devaki or Vasudeva. You become Devaki-like or Vasudeva-like. Prishni and Sutapa, and there's 3, you remember? I can't remember. Prishni Garba and Sutapa, and like this, and 3 births. It's there in the Janma, the Upakya of Krishna's Janam in the beginning of the 10th canto. So this verse sets the scene. The gopis have arrived before Krishna, and he greets them. This is the cameras there. They come and then he greets them. Seeing that the damsels of Vrindavan, Braj Yoshita, had arrived before him on the banks of the Yamuna, under the full moon night of the Sharad season, the beautiful blossoming malika flowers and white lotuses in the Yamuna, and the gentle breeze carrying the aroma of those flowers, a very exciting and beautiful atmosphere. For romance, for dance, romance, and parlance. Parlance means discussion. So a beautiful evening for parlance and rasa dance and romance. English also has its beautiful arrangements. And so Krishna greeted them. He welcomed them and avadat vadatam shreshta, shreshta vadatam utam vada. He's the topmost best of all speakers. Can you go in my room on my desk for 64 qualities right there? He's the best of all possible speakers. Shreshta, the best. Shreshta. He greeted them with charming words. Peshai, vacha peshar. They were very, and it has many meanings of this word, very decorative. It means very decorative language and words, ornamental, beautiful, poetic, attractive. But at the same time, they were mixed with jadu, magic. They were vimohan. They were decorative, attractive, captivating, and bewildering. In other words, Why are you speaking like this? He greeted them with charming words which bewildered their minds. Now Prabhupada's translation is here also. And we'll look at that. He says, when all the gopis assembled before Krishna, Krishna began to speak to them, welcoming them, as well as discouraging them by word jugglery. You know jugglery? You juggle. You take one orange, and then another orange, and then the third one. And keep it going like this. And then a fourth one, and a fifth one. I mean, how much you can do? That's your expertise. So he is speaking in such a way, he's taking the mind of one gopi and the mind of another gopi and starts going like this. He's not juggling little balls, he's juggling their minds. Because he's speaking peshaya vacha. Very beautiful, embellished language. He's good at that. How good is he? He's shreshta. He's so good. He's one of the best speakers. He can really bewilder people, especially his beloveds. Bewilder, completely bewilder. Mo, bewilderment. Vimo, very excessively, completely, absolutely dumbfounded, confused, astonished. So it says. He welcomed them and he also discouraged them. Welcome, it's nice that you came. Oh, you shouldn't be here. I think you better go home. So he discouraged them by word jugglery. Now, third translation. Because all these Sanskrit words have many meanings. Seeing that the damsels of Braj had arrived nearby, they were a little shy and a little hesitant. Because that enhances the flavor of love. If your lover calls you and you just run and jump on his arms, that's also there if there's been a long separation. But in this rust, then they come and then like, oh, we're here, but we'll keep our distance. They're both very eager to embrace and to meet and to talk, but they came and little distance. Because it says, this is a very specific translation, Dristwa Antikam ayata. Dristwa antikam ayata. They came, antikam means nearby. Like we say charan antikam. What is nearby? We say charan antikam. Where is that prayer? Is there? Yes, it says, keep me nearby your lotus feet. Sometimes they say the nail, charan antikam is describing the toenail. This is the foot and the nail is nearby. Nearby, it's actually attached. So antika means near your feet or attached to your feet. So antika means they were near, not very close, but they could see each other. He welcomed them. So there was some official distance, but some social official distance. In psychology, in this body language, they discuss the meanings of it, how correct it is, we can't say. But there's something called social space, friendly space, and intimate space. So social space is 10 feet, or no, so I mean there's public space, social space, friendly space, and intimate space. There's four spaces. The distance, the physical measurable distance between you and some other man or woman. Okay? So now, public space means 50 feet and beyond. That's called public. You go in a mall and you're walking down this way and there's a young man, there's a woman walking that way. But it's from where you are to where she is, it's 50 feet away. Pachas foot. Pachas foot door. You'll say charai or whatever, from here to there. Pachasvat. Admi then Sri Pachasvat. So you don't much notice what she looks like, anything. Then that's public space. And there's social space. Social space is 10 feet to like 10 feet, 8 feet. You go to some party. Then there's maybe within 10 feet or 8 people, and you can see them, they're closer, and you feel more warmth, more attraction, more their prabhav of that man or that woman, that social space. Then there's friendly space, which is like 8 feet to 3 feet. Friendly space. 8 feet to 3 feet. So friendly space is you're talking with some friends, you may be like this far, or maybe a little close. Indians, of course, are very close because there's no room. There's no room, but these facts are done in the West where there's more room. So it's friendly, maybe up to 3 feet. Then 3 feet and less, that's called intimate space. So there they are, antikam. They're at a slight distance. And then maybe they're facing, maybe they're on the side. They're in, right now they may be in a social distance from Krishna. That's the whole point where this has been a discussion of the meaning of the word antikam. Jishva antikam ayata. Bhagavan, he saw that they arrived at some distance. And he's thinking, this isn't very intimate. You're at some distance. Tora dure. Seeing that the damsels of Braj had arrived nearby, Sri Krishna approached them. And then that most eloquent, as usual, the man approaches the woman. But they came, so first there had to be a woman for him to approach. So they came there on his invitation. So he approached them, then that most eloquent of speakers, of all speakers, talked with the Brajagopis, bewildering them with playful words. And this is another translation from a very old English book, out of print English book of the 10th canto. A very, very interesting old language. The Brajagopis arrived in the presence of the Lord, the foremost of all elocutionists, and he then Krishna infatuated the gopis by his elegant expressions. It's very poetic also. And I read it and I was very charmed by the English language because it's kind of Shakespearean. He infatuated the gopis by his elegant expressions. Vacha peshaira vimohayan. So as I mentioned, this is a shift now. Verse 17 is a shift in voice where Shukadeva is no longer preaching to his disciple as a guru in a form of dialogue or discourse, but now he's actually begun the narrative. And this is scene 3. And this will go on from now until, I think, until verse 41. He'll be describing the conversations back and forth between the gopis. So we're on the third scene. So I'll just review. In the first scene, there was a narrative, and Shukadeva Goswami is describing the whole Rasa-lila. He said the natural beauty of Braj was arousing love of God in Krishna. He aroused his love. And then he invited all the gopis to meet him for the rasa dance. So the adhyatmic explanation of how this applies to the devotees, the sadhakas who study the Rasa-lila. The first scene of this that we discussed is that Vrindavan is so beautiful, at least it certainly was 5,000 years ago and 500 years ago and 100 years ago and 50 years ago. It was so physically attractive and beautiful to the senses. And not only that, the whole atmosphere is transcendental and spiritual. And there wasn't so much influence of the outside world. It was the natural beauty created by Krishna, pristine and pure and immaculate as it always was. And then that natural beauty was saturated with the spiritual vibrations of the sants and sadhus and the true Brijvasis who were lovers of Gopal and lovers of Giridhari and devout Hindus worshipping proper rituals and rites and fastings of all the demigods and principally worshipping their Ishtadevs of Ram or Krishna, Radha and Krishna. That was the Braj of 50 years ago and 500 years ago. So if anyone entered here to Braj, he found it physically attractive and spiritually enlightening. The whole atmosphere was saturated with a transcendental ambience. Because Maya had no business here. There was no opportunity to make money here. There's no opportunity for Kali to engage anyone here in his service because everybody was busy. Everybody in Braj Mandal was busy raising their families as devotees of Giriraj and Krishna and performing their bhajans and their yamas and their tapas and their pujas as sadhakas and babajis and vairagis. And no one, there was no scope for Kali to come here and establish his kingdom. So it was a beautiful oasis within the material world, this transcendental kingdom of God, Vrindavan. So anyone who came here as a yatri or as a visitor from somewhere else in India felt this supreme sublimity of this atmosphere, this rarefied spiritual air and people's faces and the sound vibrations and the music of the language of Braj Bhasha and the way they speak and the rasa and the dances and the rasa leelas and so many wonderful things in Vrindavan. But then Kali marched into Vrindavan, big time, big, huge army, and started just destroying everything like a monster. In 50 short years, physical beauty all destroyed. From this ashram, for 2 kilometers, was a huge dark forest of kadamba trees 50 years ago. All trees, no chickpeas. Now it's all chickpeas and no trees. Chickpeas and alternating with gehun and alternating with sarso. It's all agricultural land. So this Braj is so extraordinary. So the idea of the first scene is that Braj, the beauty of, because the gopis are in Braj and Krishna is attracted, Krishna is seeing, Bhagavan himself is seeing the beauty of Braj and that Sharad Purnima. This my Braj, it's his Braj. My Braj is so beautiful. My eyes are attracted by the beautiful reddish moon. My mind is remembering the face of my beloved Radha. My heart is elated by that darshan and feeling the cool breeze, cooled by the moonbeams and surcharged with the fragrance of lotus and malikas, enervating my nose and creating so many peaceful, healthy vibrations in my mind with those natural flower aromas and this coolness in the breeze of the Sharad season. I feel so many romance. This whole Braj is creating romance in my heart. So they say that the natural beauty of Braj arouses love in God. Krishna becomes attracted by the beauty of Braj and it rouses. He saw the beauty of scene one as he sees the beauty, he smells the beauty, he feels the beauty, he thinks of the most beautiful beauty in Vrindavan. All the beauty that he's perceiving with his senses is an anubhav, it's a stimulus, it's an udipan to create, which makes a reaction. It stimulates his heart and then he expresses his heart by inviting the most beautiful one in the beautiful world of Vrindavan that he knows, Vrishabhanu Nandini. There's no one more beautiful. That's the icing on the cake of beauty. Vrindavan is, that night in Sharad Purnima is like a whole cake of beauty. But then what's the icing? The most beautiful woman in the world, Radharani. So they invited Radharani and all of her entourage to join him for Rasa dance. So similarly, the beauty of Braj, the natural beauty of Braj arouses love of God, love in God, and he attracts all souls to him. So what does this mean for the sadhaka in scene one, which is what we already discussed? It means that when one, because that's why Rupa Goswami is telling in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Matura Mandale Vas Stale, Vasastale, one should live in Braj Mandal, Mathura Mandale, Braj Mandala, and you should do his bhajan there. First establish your sthan, then you do your bhajan. Bhagavat Shravan, Nam Sankirtan, Sarasanga, Srimurti Seva. You need a place, first sandini, existence, position, kutir, house. You want to be married, first you have a grihasta. You need a place to stand. in the house, and then a kshetra, a grihasta, a griha, and then a kshetra. Griha kshetra sutata vidhar. You need a kshetra, means a place of production, of producing your food and sustenance, a business, a field, a kate. So the stan, bhajan stali, bhajan stan. So he said you live in Braj and do bhajan in Braj, and then Braj, you absorb Braj within your mind and heart, and then you'll become beautiful with the beauty of Braj. And that beauty of Braj, when Krishna notices the natural beauty of Braj, which has entered into your mind and entered into your heart and your dealings, when he sees that, his love will arouse. His love for you will arouse, and you will attract him. Karshan, prema, Krishna sankarshani. These are the lakshanas of prema. Sri Krishna sankarshani, Sri Krishna karshani. That prema, it attracts Krishna. It karshan, it pulls and draws and attracts Krishna like a powerful magnet. This is the magnet, this is iron. Coming close, boom! So we're like iron, we're iron filings. We're particles of loha, little particles of loha. Because we're Kali Yugites, the Iron Age, and we're iron men and the iron man and the iron people. We have iron-like hearts. But by Shuddh Bhakti, Prem Bhakti, we become attractive to the Chumbak. Chumbak means the Krishna Chumbak, the Karshani, the magnet of Krishna's love. The magnet, and ultimately we attract Krishna, and we arouse and increase and excite love in Krishna. And the ultimate expression of love is kissing. Kissing means chumbita, chumba. And the word for magnet is chumbak. So when we become attractive to Krishna, then he becomes interested in us, and he wants to offer us his love, which means he'll offer us his... He attracts us, we attract him with our love, he becomes attracted, chumbak, like a magnet, then he kisses us, which means he gives us his intimate love. And then, when we attract him, then he will invite us to join him in the rasa dance. That's scene one. And scene two, of course, is a discussion. Who is this Krishna? We just finished that scene too. Theological discussion. Shukadev describing the identity position of Krishna and the gopis. What does it mean to us? The meaning to us is that lovers of God offer all their emotions to God. Kamam, krodham, bhayam, sneham, aikyam, soidam, avacha, whatever. Whatever emotions, emotions means bhav, krod bhav, kam bhav, lobh bhav, sneha bhav, mitun bhav, madhur bhav, surit bhav, sakya bhav, vatsalya bhav, feelings, loving feelings, lusty feelings, greedy, angry. Krishna, it's all yours. I'm greedy, Krishna. So I'm greedy, I'm going to make a lot of money with my greed and give it all to you. Take it all. Take all the money. And I'm lusty, Krishna. I'm very lusty. So I'm going to go out and preach to all beautiful women and bring them to you. Krishna, here, engage in Krishna's service. I'm not going to enjoy them. They're yours. They're your energies. They're your gopis. But I'm lusty, so I'll dovetail my lust by looking at beautiful women all day and preaching to them and say, yeah, go to Krishna, Haribo, bye. One go, and another go, another go. That's one way to look at it, but that can be a little dangerous. Unless you're a liberated soul. And like this, so this... Lovers of God, because that's what he described. In that discussion between Shukadev to Parikshit, he was describing that in their own way they were loving God. Shishupal, in his own way, was loving God by his hatred and envy, by his crowed and earship. Because you can only absorb your mind in someone you love. You can only think about someone day and night if you love them. So he was thinking day and night. He didn't think of his wife. He didn't think of any princesses. He had hundreds of wives, Shishupal. He was a powerful king. He has hundreds of wives, Chedi Raj. He didn't think of them. He was so much absorbed. He was so anxious in thinking of Krishna. He couldn't even pay attention to them. So he was loving Krishna. He was absorbed in Krishna. Thinking Krishna, 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 Krishna. And the gopis were thinking Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. And Kamsa is thinking Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. So this is, offer all your emotions. And now this is the third act. And in this, Krishna speaks, this is a dialogue. This is now a dialogue. We had the discourse, we had the narrative, discourse, dialogue, and monologue. Now it's a dialogue. Dialogue means log, means die, means two, to speak back and forth. It's a conversation between Krishna and the gopis. He called them for love dance. They came, they're standing before him, then they talk. What's to talk about? When lovers meet, they talk so much. And they also, they have parlance, and they have also romance. And between the parlance and the romance, there may be dance. And their eyes may look askance. Askance means looking to the side, askance. During the dance, they may look at each other with eyes that are askance. This means askance. I mean, I can play with English, like Sanskrit people play with Sanskrit. At any rate, maybe you don't understand my English because it's your second, third language or whatever. But it's like that. So in this scene, it's a dialogue, it's a conversation, and Krishna speaks indifferent, discouraging words to the Brajagopis, and they reply. This goes on from verse 17 to 41. This is scene 3 of the drama. Lots of talk means lots of classes. And lots of talk about the talk. Very interesting. A lot of talking going on here. Is anybody walking? Who's walking their talk? Krishna's talking, not dancing. I'm talking about the talk and not talking about the rasa dance. So let's talk some more. So now this is the most amazing to me. This is one of the most amazing sections in the entire Bhagavatam. When you think of who's speaking, who's listening, where they are, what is about to happen, what is supposed to happen, how they came there, why they came there. And this is the introduction to this section that Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur gives. After reconciling or solving an apparent contradiction in the mind of Parikshit about the possibility of attaining mukti by being lusty after Krishna, that was put to rest, and he described that in his discourse. Because he established the spiritual nature of the gopis' love for Krishna, and of course, Krishna's identity. Now he's proceeding with the narration. And in this particular section, now Krishna speaks charming but confusing words. Very charming but confusing. Now let's look at the words, varatam, word for word. Varatam means, of course, vad. You've heard of Ramananda Samvad? Vad means speech. Mayavad means illusory ideas. So this Vadatam means speaker. So it says that Krishna, as I mentioned, Vishnu Chakravarti is telling, Krishna is the most expert user of speech in regards to time, place, and person. And using that talent that he has, he bewildered the gopis by his use of words. Srila Prabhupada has also spoken about this, meaning of this, in a very interesting point here. He comments on this verse, about this phrase, Vadatam Shrestha, the best of speakers. And he says here, Krishna is the, this is in his whole tika in verse 17, his commentary. Krishna is the supreme speaker. Krishna is the speaker of Bhagavad Gita. Krishna can speak on the highest elevated subjects of philosophy, politics, economics, everything. So, it says, Krishna spoke before the gopis who were so dear to him. Krishna wanted to enchant Vimohan, the gopis, by speaking, he wanted to enchant the gopis by word jugglery. And thus he began to speak as follows. That's his, then the speech goes on, because this is an introduction to the dialogue that is about to happen, the conversation that is about to happen. So this being said, that Krishna's Vadatam Shrestha, and we're not really in any hurry to run through this discussion of Rasa Lila, as you can see, and we're simply trying to churn the ocean of glories of Radha and Krishna as much as we can. We see in the 60, we're just glorifying the Nayak, the hero of the Rasa dance, and every single point, our Vaishnav, our Mahajans, and our Guru Mahajans and Acharyas, Mahajan Acharyas, they say that we should worship Krishna, we should give a class as an expression of devotion to please Krishna and to please Radha. And if Radha and Krishna are pleased with our discourse of devotion, then the hearts of everyone will be pleased, especially the devotees who hear attentively and who are interested to hear the glories of Radha and Krishna. And furthermore, they say that one should hear the verses of Bhagavatam and study from all angles of vision. So how many angles of vision are there? Unlimited. So now we're glorifying some of the Bhagavan Gun, the qualities of Krishna, in relation to the gopis. He's an expert speaker. He's Vadatam Shrestha. Vadatam Shrestha. Then what's the proof? Vacha Peshara Vimohayan. Oh, you're an expert. He's the strongest man in the world. That's the statement. Okay, what's the proof? Okay. He comes, can you pick up this? All right. You pick up this. And he picks up 500 kilos. Takes five cement boris. Five of them. Picks them up like this. Okay, where do you want them? That's a strong man. One bag weighs 50 kilos, 60 kilos. So he just lifted 300 kilos. Not bad. So the proof of the pudding is in the tasting. So Krishna then, Sukadeva says, how is he Shrestha? How is he so expert? Great speaker? Because he speaks Vadatam, he speaks Vacha, words that are Peshar, ornamental, decorative, playful, but confusing, bewildering. So I wanted to read, because we're being reminded of one of Krishna's qualities, his speaking quality. And he has, of his 64 qualities, three of Krishna's qualities involve his speech. So I thought we should step aside and glorify Krishna as the ultimate speaker. As a Vadatam, this is my explanation, my tika on Vadatam Shrestha. How is he the best? Shrestha. He is vivid adbhuta bhashavit. Adbhuta bhashavit. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Rupa Goswami Pad, he portrays Krishna as a wonderful linguist, expert in different languages. Vivida means a variety. Vivida means many. And adbhuta means amazing. And bhashavit, bhasha means language, and vit means he's a controller, a conqueror, a master. Bhashavit. So he's a master, bhashavit, master of languages, but he speaks all those forms of speech are most adbhut, adbhut bhasha, very amazing, and vivida, varieties. What are the varieties of Krishna's speech? Let's find out. Does he speak Russian and English and Swahili and Chinese? Those are all languages of the human beings. So that would be a variety. So we could say, oh yes, he speaks a variety of, he speaks Hindi and French and English. Some people do. Russian. I met one lady who was a Russian language teacher in Delhi. And that's interesting. So this is it. Let's find out what kind of varieties of amazing languages Krishna speaks. Krishna is an expert linguist, which that's what it means, vivida adbhuta bhashavit. Krishna knows the celestial language of Sanskrit, Devanagari. He knows the pastoral village language of Brajabhash. He knows a variety of worldly languages and the languages of the birds and the animals. He speaks to the birds, he speaks to the animals. Abounding in happiness upon seeing the love of the forest creatures, when Krishna entered Vrindavan forest, he said, Oh, Vanalatas, oh Priya Vanalatas, oh my dear forest creepers, are you happy? Oh, Vrikshabandhu, oh Vrikshabandhu, oh my friends the trees, Sarvamangala, Sarvamangalatvam, is everything auspicious for you? Oh deer and stags, which means male and female deer, does and bucks, is everything peaceful? Shante. Oh Harina, sab shante, peaceful? Are you peaceful? Oh, how are you doing? How are you doing, birds? Hey, Shuk. Kaiso. Kaise, TK. Oh, Ali. Oh, bees. You appear healthy because you're so fat, you Brahmars. You Brahmars are fat bumblebees. You ever see them? Like, ate too much rajma and kachoris. They're like pandas, you know? Big belly, you know? Make big sound, they chant the Samaveda. Brahmar is a big, big sham colored bee. Ali. He said, how? And then he said, all moving and non moving creatures, are you all joyful? This is Govinda Lilamrita. Krishna's vivida adbhuta bhashavit. One night, Krishna hid in a forest near Yavat. What's the name of the forest? You keep it to yourself. And exactly imitated the sweet singing of the kokil, the cuckoo, in order to attract Radhika and the gopis from the homes of their in-laws, which means their outlaws, criminals. No, their mother-in-law and their father-in-law. So it means he made bird calls. He went in the forest and made like this. Kokil, something, very sick kokil. It's sort of roguing. Kamjor. Not a Bengali kokil. He's like, I suno. Oh, Jatila. Oh, Lalita, you heard that that kokil. It's very unusual. It's 9 o'clock at night. They never make sound at night. It's Ratko. 9 o'clock, 9 p.m. And kokil is making kokilvad. It's very strange. Kokilnad. And Jatila says, yes, it's strange. Oh, and all the gopis, like little girls, when they get excited, oh, mommy, we want to go. Like little girls, they get together, they create this, they excite the air with their enthusiasm and do something. Then the parents are so, like, slow. Okay. Take it, you have it.
So all the gopis got together around Jatila. Jatila, oh, Janani, oh, ma. Oh, we want to go. Please. Can we go see the Kokil? We want to hear the Kokil.
Okay. Listen, it's late. It's 9 o'clock at night. The Mainduck flipped out with that. He got so excited. He did backflips. The Mainduck was crawling out the fake lotus flower. He's holding on to the fake lotus flower, and then he heard that Radhakatha, and he did backflip. He went... Psh. Or maybe he got so ecstatic he started climbing the fake lotus flower, but then he slipped on the rubber stem. Is that what happened? Because he said, what is this? Usually I can climb the stem of a lotus flower, but this is a fake one. He went, whoop, and plop. He blooped. He was coming out. He was holding onto the lotus feet of Guru and climbing out of the samsara. Then he fell back in. Bloop. You heard that? Bloop. Hey, Mainduck. Jeev Jago. Every day, listen to Katha. I never see him except during Katha. He's always in the modes. Like most of us. I never see you. Where are you? So this is Krishna. So they went out. So he imitated them. He did that to attract the gopis. Playing his flute, Krishna calls the cows by name. Hihi Dhavali, Hihi Chandani, Rangani, Hamsi, Chamari. With his eyes expressing his desire to enjoy with the gopis, Krishna speaks the language of love with his eyes. Krishna's words are grave, sweet, poetic, clever, humorous, enchanting, submissive, equivocal, and philosophical. Krishna always speaks the right phrase at the right time. Bhashavit. Vivida adbhuta bhashavit. Besides knowing the languages of earth and heaven, Devanagari, Brajbhasha, and Tota Bhasha, Kokila Bhasha, Pashu Bhasha, Pashu Bhasha, then he knows the languages of birds, the plants and animals, and he knows the language of love. Krishna, besides all that, he can speak to every living entity on every planet and every universe. However, Krishna sits silently. He sits next to every soul as a silent witness waiting for the right time to speak. He's chup. Krishna's been doing mon brata for thousands of years. Sitting in their heart, antaryami, doing mon. Can you hear Chaitya Guru uvacha? Can you hear Chaitya Guru vacha? Vadatam, vacha vadatam. Bharatam Shresht, can you hear? No, we can't hear. Because we're deaf. Thousands and thousands of years. But he's sitting there. Let's hear again. Bhagavan Sri Krishna sits next to every soul as the silent witness waiting for the right time to speak. When a conditioned soul meets a devotee selling Srila Prabhupada's books, Krishna dictates from within his heart, this Bhagavatam is very nice. You should buy it. When a sincere soul searches for God, Krishna within his heart speaks, here is your guru. Surrender to him and you will attain perfection. To the guru, Krishna communicates in his heart, accept this lost servant. Train him and bring him to me. If we open our hearts to Krishna and speak words of love to him. Oh Krishna, you are so beautiful, sweet and kind. please accept me. It's going to rain in 1 hour. Please accept me as your servant and bind me in your embrace. If we speak words of love like that to Krishna, then Krishna will open his heart and say, I accept your love and will forever give you mine. Ananda Kanda Bhagavan Ki Jai 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 Shri Radhe. This is Krishna. His quality of Vividhar Bhuta Bhashavit. But there's two other qualities about Krishna's speech. He's really a good talker. He has 64 qualities, and three of them are about his quality of speech. Therefore, the gopis can't win. In this game, they can't win. Or can they? That we have to find out as we read on. Will Krishna win the dialogue, the battle of words? Will Krishna win, or will the gopis win? If Krishna gets his way, the gopis will go back home. He's discouraging them. Huh? Why have you come? Okay, you've seen the night and the flowers, now go. So will Krishna, his way prevail? His desire overrule theirs? Will he juggle his words and with playful, bewildering words? They get so bewildered, they'll turn right around and run back to Varsana? We don't know. It's a suspense. It's a movie. We haven't seen the next scene. We don't know. Because look how he's such a powerful speaker. The gopis don't have a chance. Vividad Bhutta Bhashavit. Then, second, what's the percentage? He has 64 qualities and three of them are about speech. What's that percentage? 5%? 5%. 10% would be 6.4 qualities, yes? So three qualities means 5% of Krishna's qualities are all about his jadu bhasha, magic language. Pleasing talker. We meet a lot of those guys. Sweet. There's a phrase, another way I say that. Sweet talker. He's a sweet talker, right? Priyambad. One who speaks pleasantly, even to offenders, is called a pleasing talker. Krishna spoke gently to his enemy, Kaliya, Nag, after defeating him. My dear Kaliya Nagaraj, my dear king of the snakes, although I have given you so much pain, please do not be unhappy with me. Once, Bhrigu Muni kicked Krishna on the chest and not just walked along in the market. Krishna wasn't in the mall shopping for Rukmini. And Bhrigu came up and said, hey! And kicked him in the chest. Where was Krishna when Bhrigu came to kick him in the chest? He was lying in bed. Was he sleeping alone? No. He was lying with his queen Rukmini. That's intimate space. And now Bhrigu Muni has entered into intimate space and kicked the Lord while he's lying with his wife in the chest. So that's not recommended. Oh, Muni Maharaj, I know your feet are very soft, like a lotus flower. Because that is the characteristic of a Muni, or a saintly person. He has very soft feet, although his heart is very hard. I know, this isn't Bhagavatam, I know that your feet are very soft, as is the characteristic of a Muni, or a saint. And my chest is as hard as a thunderbolt. I am therefore afraid that you must have felt some pain in your tender, soft feet when you touched my chest. The word he's put there in Sanskrit in the Bhagavatam 10th canto in Jorka Lila, he said, when you touched my chest. There's a word for touch, sparsha. There's also a word for kick in Sanskrit. Okay. Oh, you touched my chest. He gave him a karate kick. Boom! It's a fact. Oh, so he's a very pleasing speaker. Now there's one more quality. He's fluent. This is Bhavaduk. Bhavaduk. Krishna is Bhavaduk, fluent and expert, because he speaks meaningful words with all politeness and good qualities. Krishna's words are ambrosial and pleasing to the ears. They're like nectar and very pleasing. After Krishna politely convinced Nanda Maharaj to stop the Indra Yajna, one gopi said to her friend, "Hey Sakhi," this is nectar devotion, "Krishna was speaking to Nanda Maharaj so politely and gently, it seemed that Shyam was pouring nectar into the ears of everyone that was present there. After hearing such sweet words from Shyam Sundar, who will not be attracted to him?" Uddhav Mahashaya describes Krishna's quality as Vavaduk, or fluent in speech, like this. "The words of Krishna are so attractive that they can immediately change the heart, even of his opponent. Krishna's words can immediately solve all the questions and problems of the world." Right? His words in Bhagavad Gita. You have existential questions, philosophical questions, sociological questions, any kind of question, you can find the answer in Gita. His words can immediately answer all the questions and solve all the problems of the world. Although Krishna does not speak very long, each and every word from Krishna's mouth contains volumes, like volumes means a whole book of meaning in a few words. "The speeches of Krishna are very pleasing to my heart." This is Uddhava describing Nectar Devotion, chapter 21. "Krishna's voice eternally resounds, eternally, in the pages of Gita and Bhagavatam. At any time or place, devotees can read these immortal scriptures and fill their minds and hearts with the sweet, satisfying nectar of Krishna's convincing words." So this is the conclusion of the third quality, which Rupa Goswami explains, that to find Krishna as Vadatam Shreshto, the best of speakers. Now the next phrase is vacha. So now this phrase in the last line, 29.7, vacha peshar vimohayan. Vacha peshar vimohayan means that Krishna spoke vacha, language words, which were peshaya, decorative, embellished, but vimohayan, vimohan. He spoke very beautiful, attractive language to the gopis, but it was bewildering to them. It was confusing. So Vishnu Chakravarti, he explains, or rather the meaning, this word, peshaya, means jugglery, Prabhupada translated as word jugglery, playful, charming, elegant words. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, Vishnu Chakravarti Pad, he says this Sanskrit word, vacha peshaya. Vacha means words. And what kind of words or language? It was peshaya. Means Krishna spoke to the gopis at the onset or beginning of the rasa dance with limbs of speech, different aspects of fine speech, including expressions that are varyingly harsh and affectionate. This is the meaning of peshar. Because when this conversation between Krishna and the gopis starts, then Krishna is speaking very sweet words, But then also very harsh words. Harsh means very stinging, katin basha, very painful words. Oh, welcome, then go. Oh, it's so nice to see you, you're so beautiful with sumadhyama. Your sumadhyama, your middle portion is so beautiful, your waist is so slender and you look so attractive. But go home. So it's, we should stay, we should go. They were confused. So this is the meaning of that. Now Sridhar Swami Charan, he says that this Vag Peshar means Vag Vilas. He takes Vacha Peshar to mean Vag Vilas, which means playful words. The Krishna was only playing with them, because Krishna likes to play with his lovers, likes to use playful language in Braj, in Dwarka, in Mathura. When Krishna met Kubja, Trivakra, then he played, he was playing with her, with language. He said, oh, who is this beautiful girl? You read in the Bhagavatam, when Krishna was walking with Subal and Sridham and Dal, Balaram, they're walking in and they see the hunchback, and Krishna says, oh, Dal, who is this beautiful girl? She's so shapely. And he's playing with her. And then the dialogues they have after he transformed her into a beautiful goddess. So then in Dwarka, you know, the pastime, Rukmini is fanning him, and Krishna starts playing with him. He starts playing with Rukmini with teasing words. He starts teasing her. Oh, why did you marry me? You could have married Shishupal or so many great kings of India, but you married me. And what is my varna? Am I Vaishya? Am I a Veera? Am I Kshatriya? Am I a warrior? Am I a prince? Or am I a Gopa? Or am I a Yuvaraj? Am I a prince or king? My varna is not clear. And my color, look at my rung. All these kings, they have golden skin. They have golden skin like King Indra. Golden Gora Vandanam. Very beautiful faces. But I am the Shamuk. This black face. I have this black face. And oh, you Rukmini, your face is like molten gold. Your face is so beautiful, like molten gold. It's like a lotus flower. But what is this? I'm from UP, you know, I'm black man. I'm like Sham, Gana Sham, Sham Sundar. How did you marry me? So Krishna's playing, he's using Vacha Peshaya. Playful, Vagvilas, Sridhar Swami Charan said, this is Vagvilas, playful words to create, to enhance the love. And when Rukmini is hearing Krishna, Dwarkadish, teasing him while she's doing Chamar Seva, fanning him, she can't bear it. Oh, marry Shishupal, what are you saying? You're black face, then you're this one. Oh, my beloved, my Nath, you're my Nath. You're my Kanta, you're my Priyanath, you're my everything. And she fainted, she swooned. Like a banana tree, like a Kala Vriksh, a banana tree cut down in a tufan. The banana tree is standing there. I've seen in Mayapur, I was staying near the Goshala, in Mayapur, near the Gurukul. And this one person's house there, one summer. And there was wind, they have this Vaishakhi. Baishaki comes. I was there in May and June. Comes in late afternoon, like heavy wind storm comes up the Ganga, and it goes around heavy wind. Boom, boom. So the banana trees, the wind caught the big leaves of the banana trees, and they were spinning like this, going this way, that way, dancing. Then I was watching, and all of a sudden the tree was going like this. And it went. And just spun it right off like a laser saw, just cut it right at the bottom, just went, and then toppled, boom. I felt, of course, so bad, that poor banana tree lost its life there in that hurricane, that windstorm, Vaishakhi. So this is the analogy in the Bhagavatam in Dwarka Leela in 10th canto, that she fainted like a banana tree cut down by the tufan, by the wind, doom, on the floor. So this is Krishna's playful speech. Vishnu Chakravarti asked a question. He said, why Of course, it's about to begin, and you'll hear it. Now he's asking before it even starts the conversation. The gopis are in front of Krishna. They're a small, short distance away. Ayata, it says, Dristva Antikam Ayata. They came, and Krishna saw they were standing a short distance away. And then he starts speaking. He spoke affectionately, then he spoke harshly. So Vishnu says, why does he speak like this way? Harshly or negatively to his very dear gopis. And then he explains Krishna's thinking. This is very interesting. He explains Krishna's thinking before he spoke harshly. Now he sees the gopis before him. And the next verse, 7:18 and on, you'll hear some very harsh, negative, non-loving sentences and statements from Krishna. At least externally they can be taken that way. So what was Krishna thinking? Because first we think, then we speak. At least we should. It's a good idea to think before you speak. Because whatever you say may be, get you in trouble. Unless you have a good editor. So he says that Krishna, within this conversation with the gopi, he's going to fulfill three of his desires. He's going to fulfill three of his desires by speaking harsh words to the gopis. Very interesting. So let's see what are those three desires that Krishna... That's not a good way to fulfill your desires. Why do you fulfill your desires by speaking harshly to me? Anyway, if speaking harshly to me will make you happy, then speak harshly to me. This is a variation of a shlishyava parvatam panashtamam. Adarshana marmahatam karotiva. Whether you crush me by your embrace, or whether you ignore me or trample me under your feet, you're still my priyatam. But prananatastu sa evana priyaha. You're my priyanath. No matter what you do, you're my controller, you're my nath, you're my lord, but you're my priya. Okay, you're my lord, dasos me, yes, beat me, embrace me, hire me, fire me, whatever you want to do. Ignore me, run away from me. You're a nath. Okay, and I still accept you as a nath. It says nath and then priya. It says you're my... Priya means... Nath means power, majesty, distance, lord, controller. Matura nath. But then priya means... But you're the sweetest, dearest, tenderest, beloved of my heart, no matter what you do. How you control me, how you abandon me, or how you ignore me, or pay attention to me, or how you embrace me, or trample me under your feet, or how you speak harshly to me, or you speak sweetly to me. You speak madhur vacha, or you speak harsh words, or sweet words. You're my beloved, you're my nagar. Yashumati nandana brajabara nagar. You're brajabara nagar. You're the nagar, you're the nagar of braj. And I'm a Brijvasi, and I'm a Brijvilasini, Vrindavan Vilasini. I'm a your gopi, and we play together, we sport together. So if you wanted to speak harshly, speak harshly. I don't mind. So Krishna fulfilled three desires by speaking harshly with the gopis. And Vishnath explains this way, like this. He says this. This is Vishnu Chakravarti's talk. First, I kind of broke it down. He said he wants to fulfill three desires by speaking harsh words. And then this is explained here. Krishna was thinking that he wanted to speak. Krishna's thinking is like this. Listen, first of all, these are the three desires. First of all, I want to show. I'm going to speak harshly to the gopis. Indifferently. Indifference means I'm indifferent. I don't care. I'm not interested. Oh, yeah, you're here. Oh, that's nice. Nice to see you. Okay, swagatam. Swagatam, swagatam. Like, hello, welcome. Oh, yeah, have a seat. Okay, you have a nice... You're enjoying the scenery. Okay, bye. I'm busy. I'm really busy. This is indifferent. Not interested. Not excited. Oh, you're here. Okay, you're here. Great. Hello. Haribol. There's different ways to say Haribol, right? There's the indifferent way. Oh, Haribol. So just like when we went through this before. There's paisa haribo, there's picking up approaching a woman haribo, there's disinterested haribo, there's get lost haribo. There's so many ways to say haribo. Like there's paisa haribo. Paisa means money. So this is especially used by Mr. Agarwal. And you go down Loy Bazaar, any kaprawala, sari shop, dodi shop, haribo Prabhu, haribo, haribo. He's haribo, come give me your money. Haribo, come give me your, haribo Prabhu. Come, I have Prabhupada's picture in my shop. See, look, Prabhupada's picture. Because he was the only guru. So every shop got a picture of Prabhupada. I came in 77. And every shop, we'd walk in and say, oh, see, I worship Prabhupada. He's my guru. You should buy your dhotis here. Oh, you worship Prabhupada. And then I went to the next shop. Oh, you worship Prabhupada. Every single Agarwal, every single shop in Vrindavan in 1977 had a big picture of Prabhupada on the wall. Now they don't know what to do because there's 100 gurus. And then there's other missions. So they can't have their whole walls full of pictures of gurus. And there's gurus from this mission, that mission. Used to be the only Westerners that ever came to Vrindavan were from ISKCON. And there were only one guru, Prabhupada. So it made it easy. Now they're confused. And within a few weeks, they all learned English. Because that was the medium. Now all of a sudden, everyone has started coming to Vrindavan only spoke Russian. Me no English, me no English, me no Hindi. Oh, me no business. Me no English, me no Hindi. Then the Agarwal says, me no business. So they made it a business, they made it their business to learn Russian. So now most of the Agarwals speak Russian, which you must know by now. A very interesting side point. So now he says that he wants to, first of all, show the world the purity of the gopis' love. Even when the gopis see that the beloved object of their affection, when they see that I, Krishna says, just see. Even when the gopis see that I, their beloved object of all their affection, I'm indifferent and don't even care or show any interest, still, their affection does not decrease the slightest bit. When I meet with the gopis, I will act in a contrary way, like I'm not interested and don't even care to dance or be with them. I will take up the role of a proud, headstrong, contrary, disinterested lover, Bhamya Bhav, which is usually reserved for the woman in Sringhar Ras. Sringhar Ras means erotic love, conjugal love. Usually it's the female, it's the Nayaka, the woman, who takes on Bhamya Bhav. She shows pride. Oh, you're, and the man is excited, the man is interested, man wants to encourage. I'm not really interested, no. And that's to increase, of course, the Ras. But now Krishna is taking up, assuming this female mood, to glorify the gopis' love. I will make the gopis take up the role of the eager, submissive man, Dakshin Bhav. The man is very eager to enjoy with the woman or to be with the woman. Nayak is eager, Utsaha, to enjoy the association, intimacy, loving affairs with the Nayaka. And now he has to exhibit Dakshin Bhav. Dakshin means submission. Submissive. Oh yes, he has to speak very sweet words and woo the woman. Oh, you're so beautiful, and this and that. And the moon, you know, your face is more beautiful than the moon, or whatever. And somehow win her heart by his words, by his behavior, maybe by a very gentle touch, just touch her shoulder, or this, you know, the soft approach. Come on, slow and very submissive. So Krishna's reversing. Ah! Now, and this is very strong, unusual. The Krishna's Bhamya Bhav. Further, because of the natural shyness of young girls, which makes them act just the opposite of how they feel, the gopis are surely going to make me listen to their words to forestall our association. In other words, when I try to speak words of intimacy that we should dance or enjoy together, they will say, oh, maybe we should wait, or they'll try to forestall, which means to postpone or wait and hold that off for some time. Although it is understood by experts in rasa tattva that the bodily parts of an attractive woman look more attractive and striking, create a more striking impression if they're hidden under clothing. So this is Vishnu's analogy. And he says, similarly, the inner hankering of such women like the gopis, they inspire more wonder when these inner hankerings and desires are kept covered by their contrary behavior. When these inner emotions and feelings are brashly or proudly exhibited, they don't create the same effect. In other words, it's called avahita bhav. Avahita bhav is a sanchari. It's one of these sanchari bhavs and the relishing of ras and madhurya ras. There's a combination of five different bhavas create this bhakti ras, or this madhurya bhakti ras, this sweet taste of love and conjugal pleasure. So one is the sancharis, and there's so many of them. So one, this is avahita bhav, where you conceal your emotions by shyness or by disinterest or little interest. So then Krishna is trying to bring that out, uncover that what's hidden in their hearts. When these are, but if someone just shows it, then it doesn't have the same effect. So then it says, Krishna, he wants, of course, he wants this. Usually, he says that a man may wish to hear the words of eagerness spoken by his beloved, which are usually hidden by her external pride. A woman is naturally proud, so she won't, in loving dealing, she won't speak to reveal her eagerness for love, her eagerness to enjoy. Rather, not showing some disinterest. But Krishna is going to speak in such a way, such discouraging, bewildering, decorative language, that the gopis will start to get worried and think, well, wait a minute, what is this? He's taking the proud position and not interested position. So now we have to become submissive to him. And we have to become dakshin. Otherwise, he may just walk away and there'll be no rasa dance and no romance. And our whole efforts here, our whole avisar will be nashed. Our avisar, love journey, we ran out here in this avisar to meet Krishna and to enjoy rasa dance. And that would be the fruit of our endeavor, the fruit of our walking. And we don't get to taste that fruit or relish that fruit, then it's nishphal, which means no fruit. And so now, these are usually hidden. But Krishna never wants to see or hear these hidden feelings in front of even his intimate friends, what to speak of others. Krishna's alone now in this Nibritini Kunj, and it's setting out in the middle of the forest, and no one's there. Subal's not there, Sriram's not there, no one's there. And he would be most embarrassed to have a gopi reveal her eagerness to love him, or reveal her hidden feelings in her heart, her avahita bhav. Avahita bhav means they're concealed. I really want to be with you. I really want to love you. I'm extremely eager and extremely enthusiastic. But, oh, really, you want to dance with me? I'm a little tired right now. Maybe in a few minutes later. Let's just sit here for some time. Oh, look at the moon. It's so nice. Can we dance now? So this is the avahita. And the example is there. In Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, of Krishna's embarrassment that if in front of the gopis they would reveal their eagerness, and somehow, and his feelings for them were revealed, and he would feel so embarrassed and shy. And that happened in the Govardhan Leela, where Krishna exhibited the quality of shyness. Lajja. Krishna became Lajja. Lajja is a lakshan or gun of a female, the stri lakshana. A woman is shy. This is her, one of her good qualities, sterling qualities, her shyness. So Krishna was holding up the Govardhan Hill, Giridhari. And then all the sakas were there, gopis, Nanda Baba, and Mastasakis, Radharani, and Gwals, everyone. And then Krishna was looking around at everyone. Then he saw Radharani. And Krishna's standing in a little bit of high place, a tila, it's called Indra Tila. There's a place in, near Govinda Kund, and then there's a tila. There was under, when he lifted the hill, there was a little raised area. Krishna stood on that raised area, even underneath the hill. He lifted the hill, and where he was standing was a little raised area, like Singhasan. When you go in the temple, you stand in the Nat Mandir, Nat or Darshan Mandap. You stand there, and then Krishna is higher. So Krishna was a little raised area, like Yoga Peet, raised area. And he was standing, lifting the Giriraj. And like this, or like this. He was standing, threefold bending form. He wasn't standing straight. He's standing, threefold bending form, tribhanga, and holding, like you see Nachi and all these deities depicting that leela. And Krishna was glancing around lovingly and with sneha-filled glances and surit ikshana and sneha ikshana, glances filled with the affection, childish affection for his parents and friendly affection. Then he glanced at Radharani with Madhur Ikshita, this sweet conjugal loving glances. And he glanced at her, then because he's standing in a high place and Radharani is down, he was looking at the upper portion of her breast above her choli, and he was glancing at her breast and admiring the beauty of her kumbha shushtani, shastamanda. And when he saw them, then that udipan, that darshan, there was an anubhav that stimulated his love in his heart, and he began to tremble, which is a sattvic vikar, a transformation of sattva, or satta. Krishna's existence started to transform because of his madhur rati, was excited by that stimulant or excitant of the udipan darshan of Radharani's rupam, her sweet stan and breasts. Then he's trembling, and the hill is going like this. And then when he looked away, and he saw Balaram, Dao. And Balaram was smiling. Dauji was smiling and laughing. And then Krishna became so shy, that his cheeks turned purple. Purple karang. Purple, because when red mixes with blue, it makes purple. So Krishna's shankarang is called kapola. This is kapola in Sanskrit. Kapola means cheeks. His cheeks are shankarang, blue, like Meg rung, like monsoon, Meg. And very beautiful and glistening and shiny and so beautiful. This lavanya, this radiance, lavanya. And when Krishna saw Balaram laughing and smiling, he thought, oh, my older brother caught me looking at the breasts of my beloved. At my Nagari Radha. He caught me glancing at her raised breast, and now he's laughing. So Krishna became very embarrassed, because as Vishnu says, Krishna would never want to see or hear these kind of intimate bhavas expressed in front of his friends, especially his brother. You never show your loving pastimes or your loving interests in front of your brother. That's a secret, private thing. My brother caught me looking with interest, let's say, more like lusty glances, at Radharani's breast, and he was so embarrassed. So embarrassment brings redness to the face. When one is embarrassed, and Krishna felt so shy. So Rupa Goswami Pad and Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, he describes this leela to describe Krishna's quality of shyness, lajagun, that in this exchange of love with Radharani and the Govardhan leela, Krishna showed shyness, which shows that this avahita, his own avahita bhav, Krishna has avahita bhav also. Avahita means avahita, covered, hidden, concealed. Who does he conceal his love? He conceals his intimate love of Radharani the gopis from his brother, from the coward boys, and especially his mother. Oh, Lala, Nandalal, what are those red marks on your neck? What are those scratches on your chest? Oh, Mama, oh, Janani, don't you know, yesterday we were with the coward boys, and we were playing this kabaddi, and we were wrestling, and the boys, you know, they don't cut their fingernails sometimes, and they scratch my chest, and someone bit me over this Subal got, because I defeated him, and he got so, you know, angry that he bit me in the neck. And then, oh, but their lips have some bite mark. Oh, that. I was eating this beautiful rasgulla that Radharani made, and I was telling how good it was. Then Madhu Mangal, he jumped on me. Madhu Mangal jumped on me and bit my, and tried to take that gulabjaman right out of my mouth. He just, and when he went to bite the gulabjaman, which was a little bit there, gulabjaman, he also bit my lip, my adar. So I have this bite on my lip. That's from Madhu Mangal. Oh, Lala, that's... Oh, Rohini, get some ointment. Get some ointment. We should dress this wound. And our poor Lala. Listen, Rohini, we have to tell these coward boys. We have to reprimand them. Don't be so rough with my Lala, my Nandalal. He's coming home with a bite on his lips and scratch on his chest. This is not the way to play. Too much roughhouse. Don't play like this. Ananda Kanda Bhagavan Ki Jai 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 Shri Radhe. So this is the avahita bhav. In this way, Krishna wants to see all the hidden bodily features of the beautiful young gopis, and he wants to see all their avahita rupam, sundarya, avahita sundarya rup. They're beautiful. The sundaris, they're called braja sundaris. Radharani, Lalita, Chandravali, Shamala, Shaivya, Padma. They're all beautiful. Sundari. Sundari means beautiful young girls. In the prime of youth. Robust, effulgent, playful, exciting, captivating, enchanting, sweet, tender, and lovable. And totally surrendered. And pure. So he wants to see. And he wants to see their avahita bhav. They're heretofore hidden love for him. That Purvarag has now become, has blossomed into this Anurag. The Purvarag has become Anurag. And he wants to relish and taste that Anurag and the Ras. But now it's Avahita Bhav, it's hidden. So now he wants to see, hear their intimate words without the covering of duplicity. The body is covered by clothing. Krishna wants to see the beautiful features, and their bhav and their feelings, their emotions are covered by their laja and covered by their bhamya bhav, their pride. So Krishna wants to uncover that by his this is a vadatam shresta, by his vacha peshar vimohayan. He wants to speak jadu. That's why I said jadu. Jadu means magic words. Just watch, follow this watch. And you get bewildered, then they can get hypnotized. So then Krishna is going to speak vacha peshaya, playful words, delightful words, juggling words, and then the gopis will become vimohan. And in their vimohan, because when you're bewildered, you don't know what you're doing. When you're bewildered, you don't know what you're saying. So when Krishna creates his magic, jadu, with his vacha peshar vimohayam, then their avahita bhav, their concealed, hidden, intense love and eagerness for love and eagerness for his embrace and kisses and rasa dance will become revealed and shown. And that's for his personal relish, his rasa swadhanam, for Krishna's relish of the ras. But at the same time, in this dialogue, which is called samlap, it's called samlap in Ujjvala Nilamani. This is an example of samlap, this discussion that is about to start tomorrow. And in that samlap, Krishna is not only relishing this rasa swadhanam of the gopis avahita bhavas create rasa swadhanam. This bhava, vibhava and anabhava, and then it becomes ras and aswadhanam, relishing that ras. Then so many reactions and subject bhavs, and then lila goes deeper and the love expands more and more, and Krishna's pleasure and satisfaction increases more and more. There's this brajabhav and brajabhakti. But at the same time, as he said in the beginning of his tika, Vishwanath wants to show the world the intensity of the gopis' attachment. Even if they're rejected, or they're just driven home, or treated with indifferently, they won't move, they won't stop, they'll continue loving Krishna. Make me, break me, shake me, wake me, take me, leave me, I'll always love you. This is Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.